Deep Below Enemy Waters, in a U.S. Navy submarine, a medical drama unfolds with no doctor on board.
It's appendicitis, isn't it?
Yes, sir. He's got to have an operation right away. Reese finished.
Can you do it?
Do what, sir?
Operate on.
I don't know, sir. I never tried.
This is a scene from Destination Tokyo, released in 1943.
You've seen a few appendectomies.
Do you remember what you saw?
Not enough.
You've got a book, haven't you?
I've got the hospital corps handbook.
And a book on anatomy with pictures?
I can't guarantee anything. What if I killed him?
What are his chances if you don't operate?
He hasn't a prayer. You'll die.
Okay, then we operate.
Schmaltzy, perhaps. But it turns out this plotline was not conjured up for the big screen.
When I did the surgery, I was 120 feet beneath the China Sea.
Wheeler Lipes, known to friends as Johnny, was a pharmacist mate on board the USS Sea Dragon in 1942. He was 23 years old when he rallied his crew, improvised medical instruments, and performed an appendectomy. Heroic. And yet it's only this weekend, 63 years later, that the military will officially honor Lipes for that act. In 1942, it was standard practice to have no licensed doctor on a Navy sub. So Lipes got a bit nervous when first-class seaman Darrell Rector took ill.
Well, the patient had been complaining of abdominal pain. He came to me and asked if I would give him a laxative. And I said, no, I couldn't do that, but why didn't I go on watch for him and let him take a nap? And when I came back, he was exhibiting all the classic symptoms of acute appendicitis.
Still, Lipes hesitated, just as in the movie version. He told his commanding officer he thought he could perform surgery, but it wasn't, as he put it, something you wanted to swing at and miss.
We had no instruments, had no blood pressure apparatus, no lab facilities, none of the usual things, and you were flying strictly blind, making as much cognitive judgment as you could from the symptoms and signs of the patient's condition.
Even with the best of instruments, an appendectomy was no easy feat at the time. Robert Bornman is a retired Navy submarine medical officer and a military historian. He says appendicitis had only been identified after the turn of the 20th century, so by the 1940s there was only a short history of treating it.
General Douglas MacArthur's brother was a captain in the Navy, and he died in a Navy hospital of appendicitis. His son was a midshipman at the Naval Academy, and he died in a naval hospital of appendicitis.
On Navy submarines, Boardman says pharmacist mates, or medical corpsmen, had ultimate responsibility for the health of the crew. While it may have been unprecedented for someone like Johnny Lipes to take on an operation, Boardman says it was not irresponsible.
The thing is that he had thought about this, and he was not untrained. He was not an MD. He joined the Navy when he was 16 years old. But he had worked in a Navy hospital, he'd worked in an operating room, he had observed, and he worked for some good Navy doctors who were basically teachers at heart, but they also could see the war coming and thought that corpsmen needed to know how to do an appendectomy. And so they told Johnny he ought to study it. He did, and he learned it very well.
On the USS Sea Dragon, Darrell Rector got sicker. Finally, the commanding officer ordered Johnny Lipes to perform an appendectomy. Lipes had to set up an operating room.
So we carried the patient to the dining table in the officer's ward room where they ate this table. And the table is, of course, short. And there's a china cabinet at the end of the table that had drawers in it. So in order to fit the patient on the table, we had to pull out the drawers and put his feet in the drawers.
Lipes and his crewmen boiled pajamas and put them on backwards as operating gowns. He covered a large tea strainer with gauze, then bent it to serve as a gas mask. He administered ether, the only anesthetic available. It was strong stuff, so to keep Rector's face from burning, Lipes smeared it with heavy cosmoline grease that was used on the submarine's torpedoes. He also improvised some instruments.
We had no retractors for holding open the wound the abdominal muscle. So we took Navy tablespoons and bent the handles over the table and fashioned them into retractors, and they worked just great.
Leips made a 3-inch incision. There was no penicillin, so the crew ground up sulfa tablets and dusted the wound with that. Then there was a setback.
When I arrived at the point where the appendix should have been located, it didn't pop up. It wasn't there. I slipped my fingers under the large blind gut of the large intestine, and I could feel the appendices, and I gradually turned the intestine over, and there was the appendix, which is usually a couple inches long. It was 5 inches long, black, the distal two-thirds of the appendix, and it was buried in the gut and attached in 3 places.
The operation took nearly 3 hours, 3 times as long as usual. But Leip says Rector made an amazing recovery.
Well, in 13 days, he was up and around and busy, and the cooks accused me of sewing him up with rubber bands because all he wanted to do was eat. In fact, when we got back to port, he went on liberty and got in a fight, and I had to take a few stitches in his head.
Leip says he was just doing his job. He didn't even write his wife about the operation. But the event made big news. One account in the Chicago Daily News won a Pulitzer Prize. Yet within the Navy, historian Robert Bornman says reaction was decidedly mixed.
One doctor physically assaulted Johnny when he got back to Australia. Another one told him it'd been better if the patient died than for a corpsman to do an abdominal operation.
Bornman suggests there was concern others might mimic the daring procedure, and in fact, 2 other submarine crewmen did later that same year. Their feats did not go down well in Navy medical history.
The doctors, whether viciously or innocently, made up a terrible story about these submarine appendectomies and said they were all fake. That the pharmacist mate opened up the patient, then either through ignorance or fear, backed off, sewed him up, and said, "Ah," and the patient recovered, as many of them do. But then a couple years later, the patient had another attack of appendicitis. He was taken to a naval hospital. They opened him up and found out that the appendix was still there. It was never retracted.
Bornman says as late as 1980, many naval officers still believed the submarine operations never really took place. But he says the appendix that Wheeler Leips removed was tested at a hospital in Australia. Doctors confirmed it was close to rupture. Even today, U.S. Navy subs typically do not carry doctors. But Bornman says modern antibiotics mean there are fewer medical crises. Wheeler Leips does not sound bitter when he talks about the lack of recognition all these decades. In fact, he still plays down his life-saving act of bravery.
I was on an airplane going to Chicago to National American Hospital Association annual meeting, and there was some man sitting next to me in the seat in the plane, and he was looking at a magazine, and he tapped me on the arm and said, "Did you see this?" And I looked at his page, and it showed me holding a couple of spoons, and it says, "Believe It or Not" by Ripley. And there was a little squib there. And he looked at me with a strange look on his face and said, "Do you believe that?" And I said to him, "I wouldn't believe a word of it."
Wheeler Leips will be honored tomorrow in a ceremony at the Naval Hospital at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Efforts continue to win recognition for some of the other Navy corpsmen involved in emergency appendectomies in 1942. You can see photos and read a Pulitzer Prize-winning account of the historic surgery at npr.org.